Peter?
What is it, Dominic?
And I'll see some funny people about, don't you?
Yeah. Are you having a go at me?
No, not you, Frieda. Him over there. Look at that bloke.
Oh, what's the matter with him?
Oh, look, can't you see? He's sort of bent over at an angle of 45 degrees.
That was an excerpt from the list of Adrian Messenger. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than could be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Oliver Sudden, Miss Samantha Self-Starter.
She's easy to get off with.
To continue, George Brown and the Brothers. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, proudly exhibiting his Cambridge tie.
Yes, I was at Cambridge, all right.
And what did you take?
This tie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Welcome to the show.
Well, now, let me tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I popped round to see an old chum of mine. When I got there, he was dressed just in the tops of his pajamas. Naturally, I asked him what it was all about, and he said,
I'm semi-retired.
On Wednesday, I was going to see Fanny by gaslight, but she'd had electricity put in. So instead, I went out for a meal, a terrible restaurant. You know, I think we don't complain enough about bad food. The steak I ordered was all wrong, so I called the waitress over and said, look here, about this steak you brought me. I said, well done. And she said,
thank you, sir. We don't often get compliments in air.
On Thursday, I did something I haven't done for a long time. Well, on Friday... I received a visit from my Aunt Jocelyn, who always brings me something whenever she comes. Last time she came, it was a pair of felt slippers, and this time she brought me a felt hat. You see, my aunt is one of those people who always make their presence felt. Oh, dear. Oh, semi-retired. I like that. However, on with the show, and time for our Hornorama feature.
Topics of our time, in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
There's trouble already on a new housing estate at Breckenstead. Mervyn Spenlove reports.
Good evening. Scarcely a week had the new tenants of this estate moved in when a report of victimization was made by a Mrs. Aggie Killantillock. Mrs. Killantillock, what exactly is the trouble?
My neighbours on both sides and opposite are driving me mad with persistent tactics. Every evening, sometimes into the wee small hours of the morning, they bang on the walls, on the front door, bang, bang. Banging all the time. Oh, my dear, it's terrible.
And it's seriously affecting your life.
Oh, it certainly is, with all the banging going on. I'm unable to concentrate on my studies.
And what are these studies, Mrs. Killantillock?
Well, I'm learning to play the bagpipes.
A one-man art exhibition opens in London this week, and we have the artist in the studio with us. Now, how do you do, sir?
How do you do, sir? Delighted of you to ask me.
Now, sir, yours is a new name in the world of art.
New name?
Yes. Tell us something about yourself, will you?
Well, I taught myself everything I know. I started painting by numbers, and my very first work was a self-portrait and nearly caused a nasty accident.
Well, how was that?
I stepped back to admire it, and I fell 8 over 22.
I'm sure it is. Now, sir, seriously, how would you describe your art?
Well, my style keeps changing, you know. At one time, I used to draw quite disgusting things. That was my blue period. And then I had a bash at Renoir, big fat birds in feather hats. At one time I done my one-eyed herringbone stuff, you know, that was under the influence of Picasso. And, of course, me slosh it on any old owl style was under the influence of drink.
Well, sir, we wish you luck with your paintings in London.
Thank you, sir. And I, for my part, can only hope for one thing.
What's that?
That it don't rain and wash them off the pavement. Thank you for asking.
Not at all. In the motoring report published recently, long-term plans are at last suggested for dealing with the traffic situation. Meanwhile, the chaotic road conditions are continually added to as more and more people are learning to drive.
Hello, Rod.
Hello, Charles. I say, fancy you being my examiner. Go easy on me, won't you?
We'll see, Rodders. All right, now, start the car.
Start the car. There we go.
Into gear and off we go. Roddykins?
Yes, Charles?
We should have opened the garage door, shouldn't we?
I'm sorry, Charles. I'm so nervous today.
Now, simmer down. Everything's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Now, once more, off we go. Yes. Right, now, look in the mirror, Rodders.
Right. You don't think I've aged, do you?
Never mind that. Look out for what's behind you. Now, signal and pull out. That's it.
How am I doing so far?
Absolutely dolly, Rodders. Watch out. Look out for the car over there.
Car.
Rodders, oh, be car. Careful.
Yes. All right.
Rodney! Oh. Put your foot on the brake.
Yes.
Rodney, look out! Now you've done it, Rodders. You've gone right into them.
Never mind, Charles. It'll be all right. I know the drill. Here, take their number down.
What is the number?
ER1.
First to our panel of experts who are waiting to discuss this week's searching question. Top of the table, our pop singing star, Ricky Lippitt.
Hello, now. Afraid I'll have to ask for police protection when I do these broadcasts.
Oh, trouble with the fans?
Yeah, a whole mob of them outside the studio today. One bloke come up to me and he said, Ricky, you're number one on our hit parade.
Yeah?
Then he hit me.
Now we welcome a newcomer to the panel this week, wife of a famous BBC personality, Mrs. Richard Bumblebee.
As I walked into the studio today, a hush fell on the assembled gathering. Kenneth Horne greeted me, and as we shook hands, I couldn't help noticing the strange patterns made by the fluorescent lighting as it danced gaily on the top of his head. And away, in the distance, the trumpeters of the Variety Orchestra added their own humble welcome.
Finally, our stalwart countryman, Arthur Fallow.
I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone to love. I think we all crave a little affection in our lives. And you know, I'm not asking very much. I mean, just give me the girl, give me the moonlight, and leave the rest to me. And I'll jolly
yes,
soon.
Thank you. Well, that's the panel, and this week's question comes from a listener who asks, how does the team like to relax? Ricky Lippitt, how about you?
You've got to relax in this business, ain't you? It jangles on your nerves and that, doesn't it? The other night, kids was clapping and screaming, and I'm on the stage there twisting and leaping about.
Is that part of your act?
No, my electric guitar short-circuited. I have found the secret. It's yogi. I sit there in the middle of the room, cross-legged and naked.
Naked?
You're naked. It's what you might call yogi bear. Anyhow, I sit there, like, relaxing in that and contemplating my problems.
Yes. And all your problems disappear.
Yeah. All that is, except one.
What's that? What is? What is the one that doesn't disappear?
I keep catching me difficult.
And I think we all detect that when he sings. However, now then, Mrs. Richard Bumblebee.
Well, as I sit there in the evening, the sound of a car disturbs the tranquility of the night. I cross to the window, and pulling the delicate lace curtain aside, I watch Richard step from the car and walk majestically up to the front door. The great bell rings out, and as he is ushered into the lounge, I curtsy. He bids me rise, and with a gentle but firm kiss on the hand, his, not mine, he kicks his boots off into the fireplace, dons his soft, white, fluffy slippers, and sinks into two armchairs. The curtains are drawn, the sherry is served, and with the record player in the background playing Pomp and Circumstance, dinner is brought in. Then, with that characteristic scratch of the head, he turns to me and utters the immortal words, "What, steak and kidney pudding again?"
And lastly, now, Arthur Fallowfield, how do you relax?
Well, of course.
Yes, thank you very much.
But I haven't said anything yet.
Be careful, won't you?
I always am careful. Oh, yes. Well, as I was saying when I was so rudely interrupted, I think the answer lies in the soil. You can't beat the country for relaxing. At the end of a day's good, honest toil, you go indoors to the warmth of a log fire to be greeted by your loved one, a good meal, stimulating conversation, and an early night. Of course, the rude awakening comes when you have to get up about 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's when work starts again.
No, that's when I have to go home.
Thank you, Arthur. That's quite enough. Thank you. Now, let's really relax as we listen to the Fraser Hayes Fall.
I can't believe you, baby. Do, 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 do. Your eyes are blue, your kisses too. I never knew what they could do. I can't believe that you're in love with me. You're telling everyone I know I'm on your mind each place you go. I can't believe that you're in love with me. I have always placed you far above me. Do, 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 do. I just can't imagine that you love me. And after all is said and done, to think that I'm the lucky one. I can't believe that you're in love with me. Do, 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 do. I can't believe you're in love with me. No, I can't believe
those kisses too.
You're in love
I never
with
knew what
me.
They could do.
No, I
you're
can't
telling every
believe.
Single one I know.
No,
I'm on your mind.
Now you know that I can't believe you, baby. Your eyes are blue, your kisses too. I never knew what they could do. I can't believe that you're in love with me. You're telling everyone I know I'm on your mind each place you go. I can't believe that you're in love with me. I have always placed you far above.
I just can't imagine that you love me.
And so to this week's drama, as we delve deep into opera and come up with a spadeful of old Seville. Here now, the story of Carmen, originally created by Prosper Mérimée, and now mucked up by Eric Merriman.
Two.
Oh, not now, I'm busy.
The scene is a square in Seville, full of dragoons, peasants, and gypsy dancers. And you can't get any squarer than that for an opening. The time is 12 noon, and it is midday break at the nearby cigarette factory. Suddenly, the siren sounds forth. Do you mind?
I'm new to sound effects. It says here, blow your rooter.
Factory hooter, please.
Oh.
That's better. And at the welcome sound, the pretty girls from the cigarette factory rush forth to meet their escorts.
Pepito!
Conchita!
Miguel!
Rosita!
Manuelo!
Lolita!
Fred!
Aida!
Fred, fancy seeing you!
Didn't you know, Aida? I've joined the civil service.
And yes, at last, here she is. Scintillating, alluring, provocative, passionate, beautiful... Oh. Here she is, Carmen.
Yes, I am a Carmen. All men desire me, but be wary. I am fickle, not just an ordinary cigarette girl. I'm always going out. Now, who will be my escort for the revelry tonight?
Let me be your escort.
No, no, Carmen, come with me.
Have me, Carmen. I will do anything for you. Anything, anything.
Be quiet. That is enough. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. No, no, no. I will have none of you.
No, it's gonna mean, it's gonna mean.
Look out, these soldiers.
I say, you there. Do you know who is the cause of this affray?
Afraid not.
It is, as I thought, the gypsy girl again. Carmen, I arrest you for causing a disturbance.
But I have disturbed nobody.
Well, you've certainly got me disturbed.
Then I have chosen my escort for tonight. It shall be you, soldier. What is your name?
I'm Sergeant of the Dragoons, Don Jose.
Don Jose? But you do not sound Spanish.
I'm one of the Oxford Dons.
Listen, everyone. Don Jose is my chosen escort.
No, girl, no. I refuse to be subject to your alluring charms. You are under arrest. It will do no good to resist.
Who's resisting?
Yes. Oh, well, yes. You'll be taken into custody. Anything you say will be taken down and... No, perhaps not. I've been caught that way before.
You see, you are already succumbing to my enchantment. Take this flower. Whenever you gaze upon it, you will feel elevated.
What is this, a sort of self-raising flower?
You will soon understand when you experience that deep, uncontrollable longing that all men feel for me.
Oh, nonsense, girl. Me infatuated by you? It's unthinkable why you're cheap, shallow, fickle, scheming, beautiful, desirable... Adorable.
You see? Farewell, Don Jose.
Poor Don Jose. He was smitten as he'd never been smut before. But carefully tending the flower Carmen had given him, he searched for her high and low. One day, behind the cigarette factory...
Gladys!
She, of course, has nothing to do with our story. However, for weeks he searched in vain, and then one evening, in her favorite local tavern, a sort of good pull-up for Carmen.
Bravo!
magnificent. Oh, Carmen, come here and let me...
Get your hands off of my tambourine. Who are you?
I am Don Two.
Don Two?
Yes, twice as good as Don One. Watch.
Ah, you dance as well.
As well as what?
Then you will dance for me. And now?
Very well.
I think he's gone through an olé in the floor. I am Rendardo. Where is Don Caro?
I am here, he said, twitching characters just like that.
Don Caro, listen. Carmen works at the cigarette factory and we deal in a contraband. Perhaps she can help us with our next consignment. She can divert the soldier's attention while we...
Shh, shh, quiet. Someone is eavesdropping.
Well, tell him to pick him up and go away.
Shh. It is one of the dragoons.
Oh, it is Don Jose.
Oh, Carmen, it is you. I've found you at last. I've longed for you. Longed for you.
You've widened quite a bit as well.
Oh, Carmen, your fiery kisses set my heart aglow, my soul afire, and my very being aflame.
I was smoking a cigarette.
Oh, Carmen, I love everything about you. Your uncrushable packing, your filter tips. You're as refreshing as a mountain stream.
Mere infatuation, Don Jose. Forget it.
But my passion flower, surely you cannot mean it.
Go away, soldier. She wants nothing to do with you.
And who are you, and why do you look so smug?
We're smugglers.
Quiet, quiet. He is at the Dragoon. He could arrest us.
Oh, Carmen, this is terrible. You can't do this to me. Don't cast me off like this week's washing. Carmen, I'm appealing.
You should not stand so long in the sun.
Then you feel nothing for me.
Oh, nothing, Don Jose. I have lost my heart to another. One who is proud, courageous, and strong.
And who is it?
See, he come now. It is the fearless Tariado.
Guess who? Yes, it's me. I am the fearless Toreador, Owl.
You mean Ole, there's an acute accent.
Oh, thank you very much. Yours is quite nice, too.
Welcome to the Great Escamillo. Did you arrive by the bullfighter special?
No, it was a non-Toreador train.
Come, Escamillo, let us hear the great song of the Toreador.
All right, then, if you insist. Toreador, that's what I am this week. Right up the creek, oh, what a cheek. In the ring I landed on my head, just cause me trousers were red. And one thing that you learn to never do, bend down to tie your shoe.
Toreador in scarlet and in gold.
Yes.
You must be bold.
What?
Do as you're told.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to marry jeers and scorn.
No, I don't.
Just take the bull by the horn.
By the what?
And give a mighty bull,
it's all a load of bull.
Revolving door.
Revolving door.
lovely.
Ah, yes, Camillo, here. I take this rose from my hair. It is for you.
Oh, thank you. I should put a glass of water by my bed.
What? No, you are supposed to put it in your teeth.
Yes, that's where I'll be.
So you are a notorious bullfighter.
Yeah, that's right. Do you like bullfighting?
Oh, I never go to see the bulls. They charge too much. I suppose you've had many exciting experiences.
Oh, yes. Look, do you know what happened to me a few weeks ago? Mm-hmm. I was in the ring and I suddenly dropped my sword and the bull charged and he got me cornered. And there I was, pinned up against the side of the arena. And just when I thought my hour had come, the bull spoke to me.
The bull spoke to you?
Yeah, he said, I'm not boring you, am I?
I wonder if Carmen would love me if I were a toreador.
You a toreador? No, stop messing about. You'd never make a toreador or a matador. You might make a door a mat. No, I'm saying thoughts, you wouldn't make a good one of them, are you? But I must away. The bull ring awaits me. The spectators are calling me. You should hear when they're calling me. Adios! Adios!
Determined that Escamillo shall not have his beloved Carmen, a terrible plan forms in Don Jose's mind. He follows Carmen to the entrance of the bull ring.
Who is it?
Nobody.
Oh, I thought for a moment I heard something.
No, it was only stealthy music played by the variety orchestra.
It is you, Don Jose.
Yes, it is I. I've come to wreak vengeance.
Is that what it is?
Oh, Carmen, I beg of you, listen to my plea. Carmen, please, I implore you.
I shall taunt you, Don Jose. See, I dance my favorite dance.
Oh, stop dancing about, you little fool. All right, then. Take that.
Ah! Don Jose, you have stabbed me in the fandango.
And so the great tragedy of Carmen ends. What does Don Jose have to say?
Oh, what have I done? My little flower is faded and gone.
What does Escamillo have to say?
Oh, Carmen, my beloved Carmen.
And finally, what does the bull have to say?
I've never heard such a load of men.
That's all for this week. In next week's program, we shall be reviewing a new book for girls entitled What to Do When Approached by Strange Men in the Strand and How to Get There. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener in Tunbridge. Is another name for a shooting stick a rump steak? Cheerio.
Been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Menneman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show is produced by John Simmons.